Now, if you do have your Bible with you this morning, please do turn back to Matthew chapter 12 and verses 38 to 50 as we look at God's Word today. When the world is engulfed in such a big crisis, such as the coronavirus, which has affected so many people throughout the whole world, it's sometimes difficult to know exactly what to preach on. There are so many questions, aren't there? So many things happening in the news, and things have moved so quickly that it can all feel a wee bit disorientating. It was only on Tuesday that we were informed that church meetings were to be suspended. It was only on Friday that schools were closed. And since then, restaurants, bars, pubs, gyms have also all been closed. And it can be difficult to make sense of all that has happened in such a short space of time. I could easily this morning have chosen a passage from the Bible to give comfort and encouragement at this time, but what would I have chosen? And I would probably have twisted God's word to try and get it to fit into the present crisis. And so I felt it was important to continue on from where we've left off, which is why we're looking at this passage in Matthew's Gospel this morning, in Matthew chapter 12. It's simply a continuation of the series that we've been looking at on Sunday mornings. And we trust that an eternal God, whose word is eternal, can speak through it into our present situation. Now, this morning's passage is not an easy passage by any stretch of the imagination. The main theme this morning is about signs. Now, in many ways, this passage starts in a strange way, because the Pharisees and teachers of the law come to Jesus and they ask Jesus for a sign. "Teacher," they say, "we want to see a sign from you." Now, it's strange that they ask him this, because in the previous story, Jesus has just healed a man who was blind and mute. And just earlier in the chapter, in chapter 12, Jesus has healed a man who had a shriveled hand. And in both those cases, the Pharisees are simply blind and they can't see the sign that Jesus is trying to show to them. In one case, they simply see Jesus as a lawbreaker because he healed the man with a shriveled hand on the Sabbath. And in the other case, they accuse Jesus of being from the devil. So quite how they have the audacity to now ask Jesus for a sign here actually is quite astonishing. What more could they possibly want after the miracles that he has just done? And so Jesus gives them short shrift, perhaps understandably. They will get no sign except from the prophet Jonah, the sign of Jonah. Now, of course, in our own lives, we sometimes look for a sign, don't we? We look for signs as to whether it's going to rain or not, or whether we can put our washing out to dry on the line. We look for signs of spring, lambs in the field, snowdrops and daffodils. But of course, we also look for signs, don't we, that make sense of life. We might see a rainbow, and we see that as a sign, perhaps a sign of God's blessing, or that God is listening. We might have someone phone us, and we might see that as a sign, because we had it in our mind that they were going to phone us, and they might want to encourage us at that time. And so we might see that as a sign. We all try to make sense of our world, and sometimes we do so by looking for signs. Even in the past week, a few people have said to me that the coronavirus is a sign of the end times. Now, it might very well be. We know that things will get difficult towards the end times. But of course, there have been numerous times, haven't there, when life has been difficult for humankind. And so it's hard to say, isn't it? But sometimes in our life, we sometimes wish that God would just give us a sign. Do you not sometimes wish that God would just write with big letters in the sky and say, "I'm here"? Sometimes we would like that. Because living by faith can sometimes be a challenge. But it isn't blind faith that we live by. Because Jesus has given us a sign. It's the sign of Jonah. Now, you might be thinking to yourself this morning, what on earth is the sign of Jonah? Well, we all, of course, I'm sure, know the story of Jonah. Jonah and the whale, or Jonah and the big fish. Remember, Jonah was called by God to go to Nineveh, a wicked set of people who God was concerned about and who God wanted to turn back to himself. And yet Jonah, called by God to go to Nineveh, he disobeyed God and he went in completely the other direction. But God pursued Jonah. Remember, Jonah got on a boat, was heading in a completely different direction. But God sent a storm. And the ship was stuck in that storm, and the captain of the ship and the others who were on the ship were looking for a sign. Who is it that's caused this storm? And eventually Jonah came forward. And so they threw Jonah over the side of the boat. And then, of course, we know how the story goes on. That Jonah didn't drown, but he was swallowed by a big fish and was in its belly for 3 days and three nights before it finally spat Jonah out. And after Jonah had repented before God, as he'd done so in the belly of the big fish, he finally went and he preached to those in Nineveh who were doing wicked things. And in a brilliant part of the story, the people of Nineveh repent. You see, that's what makes the people of Nineveh different to the Pharisees. Because the men of Nineveh repented and they turned to the Lord. Whilst the Pharisees have no intention of repenting, no intention of trusting in Jesus. Now, the next part of the story, moving on from Jonah, before we understand what the sign of Jonah is about the Queen of the South. And I always get excited about this part of the Bible because, of course, we know that this is the football team that I support. But the Queen of the South isn't a football team. It's the Queen of Sheba. And what this is referring to, what Jesus is referring to here, is the Queen of Sheba who visited King Solomon to hear of his wisdom. And as the Queen of Sheba heard King Solomon's wisdom, what did she end up doing? She ended up praising the God of Israel. And so we have these two short stories, the story of Jonah and the story of the Queen of the South. And Jesus says at the end of each of these small stories, and now something greater is here. Something greater. In other words, himself. He's the one who is greater. And the sign of Jonah is what's going to happen to Jesus. Because as Jonah was in the belly of the huge fish for 3 days and three nights, so Jesus would be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. You see, Jesus is pointing towards his death and resurrection. You see, he's not going to show the Pharisees a sign on demand, but he will come and he will do what he has come to do, to die on the cross, to pay for our sin, and to rise again on the third day. That will be the sign that he is the Messiah, the Son of God. And then Jesus gives us another picture, just towards the end of this passage. Because he gives us this picture of an impure spirit being cast out of a person. But then there is effectively a vacuum left in that person. And Jesus is effectively saying, will you put me in that vacuum? Or will you let the impure spirit come back and it will be worse? In other words, Jesus is saying to the Pharisees and all the other people who are around at that time, are you going to repent? Or are you just going to follow your own way and your own path? You see, so often in our lives, we can look for a sign, can't we? And sometimes we might wonder why heaven seems to be silent. But God has given us a sign. He has given us Jesus. Jesus who came into the darkness of this world. Jesus who died and rose again. The ultimate sign that he was and is the Son of God. The one who takes away the sin of the world. The one who asks us to put our faith and trust in him. You see, during these turbulent times, where everything just seems up in the air and we're worried and concerned about so many things, Isn't it great that we have Jesus as an anchor for our soul? Because in Him is ultimate healing. In Him is forgiveness. In Him is life. He calls us to repent and to believe and to trust in Him. What other sign do we need? Now, I just want to finish today with a word of encouragement to you. And it comes from the end of our passage, from verses 46 through to 50, where Jesus' mother and brothers come to see Him. Now, at first sight, when we look at this part of our passage, we look at this and think, this isn't much of an encouragement. Because even though Jesus knows that His mother and brothers are outside the door, in verse 48, He seems quite dismissive of them, doesn't He? He says, "Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?" And especially on Mother's Day, that seems pretty harsh, doesn't it? But Jesus is not necessarily denigrating His own family. Because look then at what Jesus does. He points to His disciples and He says, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." You see, when you believe in Jesus, you gain brothers and sisters and mothers. Fellow believers in Christ are your family. You're part of the family of God. You're part of a new, extended spiritual family. And it's wonderful to be part of that family. And especially in these days of social distancing and self-isolation, know that you're not alone when you're a Christian. That God is your Heavenly Father, and that we have brothers and sisters and mothers who can support us at this time. It's wonderful to be part of the family of God, and I encourage you, let's support one another at this difficult time. Let's pray for one another. Let's have fellowship with one another, even if only through phone calls or messages or through the internet or in other ways. In Jesus, we have a great Savior. And when we believe and trust in Him, understanding the sign that He's given to us by dying on the cross and then rising again in glory, it's wonderful to know of God's love. That He truly does care for us. And when we do believe in Jesus, it's also great for us to understand that we have a wonderful extended family and we can support one another at this difficult time. As we think over these things together, let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Loving Lord God, we thank You for Your word to us this day. And we thank You for all that Jesus says in this passage, how He refused to give the Pharisees a sign. They'd already been blind to the signs He had given to them, those miracles that He had done, the signs of healing and forgiveness. Lord God, we thank You that Jesus knew the Pharisees' hearts, that He knew that their hearts were hard, and that they had no intention of repenting. Lord God, He was going to give them only the sign of Jonah. And we recognize that that sign of Jonah refers to Jesus dying and rising again, dying on the cross at Calvary for our sin, and then rising again on the third day to new life. Lord God, we thank You that this is a sign also to us, and that when we believe and trust in Jesus, that we too can know forgiveness for our sins, that we can know the depth of Your love for us, and we can know life eternal, life with You forever and ever. Lord God, we thank You also that when we believe in Jesus, that we become part of the family of God. And we thank You for all the brothers and sisters and mothers that we have in our own lives that can support us at this time. And we do pray particularly at this time of crisis that You would help us to support one another in whatever way that we can. We thank you for your great love for us, and we pray that we would be willing to love one another. So, loving Lord God, speak to us through your word this day, we pray. For we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.